I've never been quite sure of the infatuation that Americans have with the British royal family, right?
I mean, you're just as obsessed. You've got like 5 Princess Di Beanie Babies in here right now.
Never understood why we're so infatuated, but I am. Like, so I guess I understand because I'm in it. I think it's something that's so foreign to us that they have a king and queen and princesses and all that, like it's medieval times, but it's not. If anybody has turned me off to the royal family, it's been all this drama with the Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, and like the feud with the family. And there's just something very icky about the documentary and interview they did with Netflix, kind of like a tell-all. And now Harry's book is out because I'm looking at the front page of every news thing that I'm seeing online, and it's all talking about his new memoir, Spare.
He's going to be on 60 Minutes this weekend. There's another couple big interviews that are coming out.
Yeah, right? Anderson Cooper on Sunday.
Right.
So I'm looking at some of like the big quote-unquote revelations. It says that Prince Harry claims King Charles branded him the Spare the day he was born, which is the name of the memoir. Well, right, you're not the king. You're the second in line.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Harry remembers Charles coming over to him on his birthday and saying, hey, you're the spare, mm-hmm. right on the day he was born. I mean, that's what everybody calls the second heir.
Okay, Harry begged Charles not to marry Camilla. He was afraid that she would be an evil stepmom. Like, what? I mean,
that's going to be in the book.
That's what it says.
That seems kind of odd.
Yeah, and it says that Prince Harry claims William physically attacked him, that he actually hit him over Meghan Markle.
Yeah, listen, I mean, I think that it's possible that these two guys had an argument and they might have shoved each other around. They're brothers, after all. I'm sure they had plenty of fist fights when they were young, too. Did you watch all of the Netflix stuff?
I didn't watch it. I watched like the first 5 minutes and I thought to myself, I hate this. Like, I truly can't stand this.
Yeah.
And I don't want to watch it. And I said, no one's forcing you, Anna. And I shut it off.
I ended up watching all of it and I wanted to get out of it early on plenty of times. I can tell you it was exceptionally well done. It's quite a piece of propaganda. I don't know whether or not it changed my mind. I would like it all to go away. It just seems petty to me to argue about your family in public.
Right. So that's the whole thing, is like you're complaining on such a public stage about how terrible your family is and right. why you left and why you and your wife are so righteous and all that. And like, again, this is an outsider looking in. Who knows the real story? You know,
of course, I will say there was some compelling points of interest in their documentary spread out over those episodes. But again, that's one side of the story.
Right. But why are you doing a documentary, a book? Why are you doing all of this? Just live your life and do all the other passion projects that you're so passionate about. You're so into charity.
Right.
Stick with that. That's the legacy you want to leave behind.
I would agree. I think that they have all the support. They are surrounded by people that know, or if they believe that they have good intentions, have more than enough money to finance the things that they would want to do, their charitable endeavors and such. And they have quite a few. And that would be great. If you don't want to be a working royal, fine. Be a working philanthropist, whatever it is that you want to be labeled at this point. You don't have to continue to slag them.
One last thing, and then we're not going to talk about this anymore because I think we've all reached our wit's end with it.
I doubt it's over, but okay.
But in the memoir, he talks about how hurtful it would be because everybody would joke King Charles wasn't his real father, that it was one of Diana's conquests or whatever.
Mm.
And all I keep thinking is, maybe that's not a bad thing. Like, he's definitely the more handsome of the brothers. So, I don't know.
Anna and Raven's hell of a story.
Do you have a hell of a story? Whenever you tell it, people are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. Send us your info at annaandraven.com. Kelly Coppola. Kelly, you have a hell of a story.
I do have a hell of a story. So, back in 1956... my dad, Joe Santagata, who was driving a bus at the time, drove a group of Boy Scouts down to Yankee Stadium in the Bronx to see the Yankees play the Brooklyn Dodgers in Game 5 of the World Series.
Oh, my gosh.
Which at that point was, and that point it was tied 2 games apiece. My dad, who had standing room only admission, right, so he's just standing there watching the game, eating a hot dog, and a man approached him and struck up a conversation. And my dad explained, you know, where he was from and what he was doing there and who he brought. And the guy said, listen, you know, I'm a sports reporter and I have to go cover another event. Do you think you could do me a favor? And my dad's like, yeah, sure. Like, what's up? He said, well, can you take some stats for me on the rest of the game? You know, like just jot down Yogi, you know, Yogi flies out to left and Mantle line drives to third or whatever. Just take some notes on the game. And my dad is like, of course, happily agrees and says, yeah, definitely, to the reporter. And the reporter says, great, well, follow me. So that day, my dad got the pleasure of watching Don Larsen pitch a perfect game from the press box inside Yankee Stadium. And to today, it remains the only perfect game in the history ever of World Series.
I'll just tell you, this is everything that Anna wants in a fantasy. Oh. So she's standing somewhere.
Yes.
Some big monumental thing is going on at that moment. And for whatever reason, somebody goes down.
Okay.
And the microphone falls into her. It's like the end of Anchorman when the panda rips off one of the dude's arms.
Two examples in my life when I prayed for something like this to happen.
Okay.
One, when I went to go see Billy Joel. Uh-huh. Famously, if you have bad seats at a Billy Joel concert, they will take you from the nosebleeds and bring you up to the front row because they want real fans in the front.
Okay.
It's never happened to me.
Right.
I've had terrible seats. Other thing is that Taylor Swift's mom is known for going in and taking people that have not great seats or standing room or wherever they are, bring them to the front and bring you backstage to meet Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Also, things that I pray for.
Yeah.
That has never happened in my life. This is basically like it actually happening.
I mean, with these two scenarios you have, you don't even have to take notes or write down the thing that Yogi Berra did. But,
right.
But yes, equally cool.
Is that the coolest?
He's writing down stats and actually handing them off to him after, and they're using them on top of it. I mean, like, not only was he there to witness this thing, but in theory, I mean, he's part of the history there. I mean, frankly, if he made an error, we don't have replay back in that day, right?
That's true.
So if he made an error in his notes, he's in the history books with this inaccuracy.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
Well, I think Don Larsen would appreciate that. And a fun fact, unfortunately, my dad got ill and we lost him back in 2017.
Hmm.
But when he was sick, I reached out to Don Larsen to tell him the story, and he sent my dad a well-wish card and an autographed picture. So that was pretty cool. And he did that. So
I mean, what an amazing experience. And he must have loved telling people that story throughout the rest of his life, I'm sure.
Yeah, that is a hell of a story.
Sitting right in the press box. That would never happen now.
Right, in the press box. I mean, yeah, that's a pretty cool seat to watch a game from, especially a no-hitter. Not a no-hitter, but a perfect game as well.
Thanks for sharing, Kelly. And if you have a hell of a story, too, head to annonraven.com.
Thanks for doing what you guys do. I enjoy listening to you guys every morning. You guys make me laugh.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 Group therapy, that's what we're going to call it. Basically, it's just your chance to rant about whatever's driving you crazy right now. 1-800-330-9999. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Jackie.
If you won't do Ancestry.com because you're paranoid about the government finding out stuff, that's all I need to know about you.
It's a thing, man. And it's becoming more and more of a thing. This is how they're solving crimes nowadays, Anna. Somebody told me something about, too, that they're talking about using this as it might infect your health insurance or something like that. I think producer John was talking about this just the other day.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they do that already with your credit score and stuff like that, so there's no reason to think that they won't do it through that. I don't know, man. I did mine without thinking about it years ago, and now I think to myself, uh-oh, now I can't do anything nefarious.
I mean, I have never done it just because it's, I don't know, it's expensive and I don't want to spend the money. I don't care. I kind of know where I've come from, so I'm good.
Hmm.
But although I know there's surprises, but I don't know. I feel like if you have nothing to hide, then who cares?
Oh, that's the thing, though. It's all about who uses that information and how they use it, right? And what is it that you're supposedly hiding? The thing that you think you'll never need to hide?
In my spit?
10 years from now could be the thing that, oh my gosh, this person's got that.
Charlie, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, if you put an orange cone, like a traffic cone, in a parking spot at work to reserve your spot, that's all I need to know about you.
Oh.
So wait a minute. It's not actually their spot. They're just putting their cone in the middle of this spot to hold it for them every day?
Yeah, like they leave it at the end, when they leave work at the end of the day, they'll put it so they have their spot when they get there the next day.
That must mean they keep it around in their trunk all the time, which is hilarious.
I love the idea of somebody who's not, like, you know, working for a utility company, you know, the sewage company, the city, you know, a cop, anything like that. Somebody that has the right to actually direct traffic. I love the idea of them feeling like they can just put up a cone wherever they want. I mean, if it's in your driveway, that's the only place that it's really acceptable for you to put up a cone, right?
So funny. Yeah.
There's a lot of power that comes with having a cone,
though,
right?
I kind of want to just have cones in my car.
Right?
Like, I go to the mall, I just take three spots. Like, sorry, guys, these are mine.
I would imagine after you do it a couple times, it gets easier.
Right.
Now you don't think about it at all.
I want to put it on the street. People park, like, right on the street in front of my house.
Yeah.
Like, I want, you know what? No, don't park there. Here's these cones. See?
That's right. Can't approach.
Yeah. I used to have some from when I used to teach boot camp classes. I bet you I could dig those out of my trunk. Wherever they are.
You mean like little green fluorescent ones to run around?
Yeah, the ones that they use in flag football.
I'll run that
ones.
Over if I got an SUV. But I mean, if a big one, like, you know, if you see an extra one on the highway, it might be worth picking up.
I just drive by real slow, open the window, grab it.
Yeah.
Hallie, that's all I need to know about you.
If you've lived next door to me for over 6 years and you still don't know my name, that's all I need to know about you. My neighbor still calls me a different name every time I see him.
You know, I've got neighbors where I like confuse the names, but there's like it's like a Rolodex of names. I dial through three or four names and I might put the wrong name on the wrong person, but they still live in my neighborhood.
What?
So, consider that.
I only remember like half my neighbors' names. And I write them down too, like inside. I put them like the notes in my phone, but you can't really just pull up your phone when you see somebody on the side of the street and be like, wait a minute. Let me look up that number 8. Let's see who lives there.
And do you give them like some sort of descriptive term? So I'll be like, bum leg. I'll be like, unibrow. That kind of thing.
Some good news coming yesterday that Damar Hamlin from the Buffalo Bills is awake and alert and hopefully has a good prognosis. But there's been a lot of questions and parents are concerned, too, if they have children that play sports, saying, is something like this could have happened to my child, right?
Listen, I've been watching football pretty much my entire life since I was a kid, and I had never seen anything like this. You know that injuries are part of the game, but extremely scary when you think about an elite athlete, right, playing at the pinnacle of their sport, young, and a hit where it looks like nothing really happened, and then all of a sudden, obviously, there's something very dangerous going on right at that moment.
Dr. Hal Skopicki is the chief of cardiology and co-director of the Stony Brook Heart Institute. Dr. Skopicki, first of all, what's the difference between cardiac arrest and a heart attack?
Cardiac arrest is caused when the heart's electrical system malfunctions, and there's a sudden unexpected loss of heart function that results in a loss of consciousness or an unresponsiveness. A heart attack is one form of cardiac arrest where there's a blockage in an artery of the heart. Blood doesn't flow through that artery to a certain part of the heart muscle, and that part of the heart muscle actually starts to die.
Doctor, to me, this is something we've had heart attacks run in my family for generations. It's something that I've always paid attention to, but my understanding is still so juvenile. So to me, you know, I always associated this with obesity or being out of shape or being older or being in an incredibly stressful situation. I must be completely off base.
You are exactly right that when we go ahead and we take a look at who is having the heart attacks or who is having the cardiac arrest, it is the majority in the older age group, the ones that have had these other diseases that have conspired to block your arteries or to cause your heart muscle to malfunction. This is a specific and particular case. And, you know, the first reassurance to give everybody is the fact that you're not seeing this on a daily basis. You're not seeing it on a weekly basis. In the NFL, this is only the second time we've ever seen something like it. So the reassurance to give everybody is this is something that happens every one great moment in a while.
It's reassuring to hear that this is something that's obviously not common and
very rare.
Parents not to worry about and all that. But as a parent, what can you do to protect your kids from something like this ever happening to them?
The first thing that I would say is the worry going into it is far greater than the actual probability that would happen. You know, the greatest risk to your children is when they get in the car. So when you take a look at, you know, preventing an instance like this, what we're telling parents is you screen your children. You make sure that there is no underlying issues with their heart. If your child starts to say, I'm getting short of breath during activities, or you're seeing them turning blue, participating in activities, all of those are warning signs to get over to your pediatrician to just check it out.
One last thing, Dr. Skopicki, and then we're going to let you go. But just, I know this is speculation and guessing, but what are the long-term effects and possible outcomes after something like this happens?
So that's a great question. And what it comes down to is how much time there was in terms of blood flowing to the brain So they initiated CPR quickly, almost immediately, pushing blood with oxygen into the brain. The other hopeful side is he's a young man, and young people's brains can withstand a little bit less oxygen than the average older person's brain can withstand. But at the end of the day, everybody is different.
Dr. Hal Skopicki is the chief of cardiology and the co-director of the Stony Brook Heart Institute. Thank you so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Truly my pleasure. Have a great day, guys.
There's this list I just saw of predictions that were made 100 years ago about what was going to happen in 2023.
You know, I love a good time machine.
Okay, cancer will be eradicated. Not yet, but we're making progress.
Not enough progress.
Right, but
I'm going to stop on that one, but thank you for starting with one that's real rosy.
Yep. Okay, flying from Chicago to Germany will only take 18 hours. It only takes 9 hours. We did that.
All right,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, right?
Good.
Congratulations, right?
Good.
All right, there will be no ugly people.
Who makes that prediction 100 years ago and everybody goes, no, that's cool. That's something you should say out loud. Wow.
And because they thought everybody would be so beautiful at this point that it'd be impossible to have beauty pageants.
They weren't worried about political correctness, that's for sure.
And homes won't have kitchens. That's not true, but man, I wish it was. I wish there was some other way that I could just have food magically appear cooked every day at my house.
We're thinking about that, rehydrated pizza from Back in the Future, right? You put it in a box and 10 minutes later it comes out full size.
All right, so now it's time for us to predict not what's going to happen in 100 years, but what's going to happen in 2023. Producer John, producer Sean, Raven, think short term.
Okay.
The things that will be huge this year. Let's start with food trends. Sean, you're up first.
All right. I think those Japanese powdered candy foods are going to take off.
Oh, God.
I've been seeing those. What? Like, I feel like they're growing and growing and growing. Mm. I think that's going to take off. You guys ever see that?
Never even heard of that.
Oh, they're weird. Look them up on TikTok or YouTube. They're like these really weird foods that come in a package and they're all powdered. You just mix them with water and it makes food.
Yes. It's like a hyper protein shake with flavoring. It's like eating in space or something like that.
In my mind, it's like a pixie stick and I don't know if I want
I mean, honestly, my thing kind of ties in with that too. Like I know like the ramen and the pho and all that is popping up in, you know, strip malls all over America.
Yeah.
But it's still a thing where like only like 15% of people that you know are actually eating it. And I feel like this year everybody's going to be eating it. Everybody is going to be eating ramen.
It's going to be a lot of slurping.
Adults, well, everybody.
That's super gross. I mean, for me, mine's an extension of the butter board. We're going to have Nutella boards.
Oh.
We should do that.
I mean,
we should just take like chocolate and just throw the bananas and the strawberries. What else? What else is good with Nutella?
Everything.
Bread.
Everything.
Bread. White bread.
Yeah,
whatever.
Everything. I'm into that.
I mean, if I have an instance where there's no witnesses, I could do that now.
I'm going to be the one who starts it.
I think food trend is frittatas. I think like meat and everything is so expensive that we're going to get back to basics with eggs. It's going to be all kinds of frittatas.
But eggs are up right now.
Well,
did you get eggs this past week? They're twice as much.
Yeah.
Forget that.
Celebrity breakups. Who's going to be the big celebrities to break up? Raven, you're up first.
I think that Harry's going to cheat. I don't think that they're going to break up necessarily.
They already broke up, Raven. Harry and Meghan.
Yeah.
No, I thought you talk about Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde.
No, Harry Styles is never going to be with anybody forever. That's a joke anyways. I mean, just Harry's going to cheat. They're going to stay together, but maybe not cohabitate. And then Meghan is going to get Drew Barrymore's talk show because nobody ever stays in that slot forever. So she'll lose the show and Meghan gets the show.
John, do you agree with that? Because you're going crazy over there.
No, but I was thinking the exact same thing. I thought that Meghan and Harry were going to break up. I thought that they're just trying too hard.
All right.
Trying too hard right now, you know?
Sean, who's breaking up?
Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox. Megan Fox is going to listen to our show, realize I have a silky smooth voice and want to get with me.
Oh.
She won't be able to.
Right.
Because I'm a very dedicated man to my relationship. But she'll try, and she will try for the rest of her life.
Machine Gun Kelly.
For the rest of her life.
That was on my short list. I'll be honest. I think this is the year that Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith are over.
Oh, finally.
Yeah.
Does that mean that we can finally stop listening to them talk about their relationship because nobody cares?
All right. Those are our predictions for 2023. What are yours? You can let us know on our Facebook page. Just search Anna and Raven. Now it's Mega Millions, up to almost $1 billion. Next drawing is tonight. You keep thinking about, like, who wins this money? What's it like to actually have a winning ticket?
These stories are fantastic. When you talk to somebody that's actually a winner, it really gets your juices flowing. So much that I bought tickets in another state the other day. Over Christmas time, I got to hear an incredible story from my sister's boyfriend. Jeff, tell us what happened.
So took a trip to upstate New York. My family's from up there. My father passed away about 7 years ago, actually in the hospital where he had worked for 43 years. So They were dedicating a bench to him with a plaque and everything. So they invited the family to come up to the ceremony. My girlfriend Alexis and I went up. After we left there, got back onto the highway, Lex wanted to stop at Starbucks to pick up a coffee. So we got off the exit, we got a coffee, and as I was getting back towards the exit, there was a Cumberland Farms across the street. I went in, I purchased 4 $5 scratch-off tickets. So she took 2, I took 2. She started scratching hers immediately. Within seconds, she had said that she won. And she scratched her prize off right away. It was a $5 winner.
Wow. Nice.
And
yes.
She was actually super excited about it.
She's like, "Whoa!"
So as I'm scratching the 4th one, it was, I think, the 3rd number I had scratched, matched. But I always scratch all my numbers first before I do the prize. So I looked at her and I said, "Oh, I won on this one." Finally scratched the prize. And I looked down and it said jackpot. So I looked at her. And I said, "I think I just won $1 million." So she looked at me with this grin. She's like, "Yeah, I'm sure you did." And of course, saying that, I was like, "There's no way I could have." So I looked at the ticket again, just stared at it. I looked over at it again, and I said, "I think I just won $1 million." So she looks again. She takes the ticket from me. She starts staring at it. When she took it, she was smiling, and all of a sudden her face just went blank. She looked at me and she goes, "What the hell is this?" And I go, "I'm pretty sure it's $1 million."
Oh my God. So
she looked back at me and I was just tearing up like a little baby.
Oh my
like
God.
I just started crying.
Yes. I just thought to myself, I would immediately burst into tears. That would be my first reaction. I would cry.
I didn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
But it really sunk in that it was $1 million. She looked at me and she said, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "I want to go back to my mom." So we did.
Right. Like, I don't think I can drive right now.
Yep.
Where do you keep the ticket? Like, where did you, like, I would be so terrified.
My mother actually said, "Why don't you keep it here?" I said, "No way in hell." So I kept it. I brought it back. I brought it back to my place that night. And then the following morning, I went right to the bank. I got a safe deposit box, and I kept it in there.
Jeff, does it ride on the dashboard home, or is it in your front pocket, your back pocket? What pocket is the most secure pocket?
I got an envelope from my mother's, and I kept it right in the visor, right in front of me, and just kind of stared at it the whole way home.
And never rolled down the windows and moved the visor at the same
and
time.
I think I went about 62, 63 on the highway the entire way.
Did you do the thing where you called the lawyer first or the finance person first,
or did you go straight? Yes, I spoke to the financial advisor. Again, it's not set for life money, but it's very comfortable money.
Yeah, it's peace of mind.
Yes.
Right? I mean, he's golfing in Ireland. He's doing what he wants to do. He's taking nice trips.
So that's my last question. Is what do you do now? Like, what did you do something fun? I guess you are, right?
I am, yes. I'm taking a trip to Ireland with 7 other buddies for a golf trip in May for a week. Lex and I are going to Hawaii in October.
Nice.
And then I'm helping my boys out. I have 2 sons, so I'm helping them out a little bit.
Well, Jeff, that's an incredible story,
congratulations.
Man. Thank you. Congratulations.
Congratulations
again.
Thank you very much.
And good luck to us. Don't you feel lucky now?
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Are you excited for our holiday party tonight?
Oh, girl, I'm like a zombie. I haven't slept all week. My face is all broken out, I think, from the stress of not sleeping. And I have nothing to wear. So, yeah, I'm super excited.
No, even worry about what to wear. I honestly have no idea if I'm going to wear leather pants, jeans, or a dress. Like, it's going to be a last-minute thing, but
I was telling him that this is the struggle with your office there, is I will feel like it's the year to dress up, and I show up dressed up, and you guys are all casual, or I'll feel like, okay, they were casual last year, so let me go casual, and then I show up, and you guys are, like, dressed to the nines.
Yeah.
So you confuse me every year. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, you don't. It doesn't even matter. But I have an important question for you.
What's that?
Upstairs in your home, in your bedroom, do you keep the blinds up all the time, down all the time, or do you put them down only when you're changing or never?
So the front blinds that face the road, those stay closed for the most part because, I mean, everybody can see you.
Right.
The back, we have backyards that butt up to our backyard. In the summer, there's a tree line that is totally filled in and you can't tell there's houses back there. So those blinds stay open. in the winter, they have to stay closed because I think dude behind us has binoculars and might watch me change.
That makes sense.
We have never seen this guy outside.
Oh, I have once. Yep.
But
he had binoculars.
But not with binoculars or some nods. We have no reason whatsoever to suspect that anybody behind our house is anything but a wonderful neighbor.
That's not true.
Well, all right, we have some reasons, but we don't have any reasons to think that they're watching us get changed. Furthermore, the house would have to be on top of a mountain to see down inside our house if we were nude or whatever. She freaks out when she gets out of the shower. She's like, what are all these windows doing open out here?
I'm with you, Alicia. I am under the impression, even though there is no reason for me to believe it, that everybody in my neighborhood wants to see me naked through my windows. It doesn't even make sense.
Just dying to see you topless.
Well, we have this one neighbor. This is an older gentleman. He said to me one day, he goes, are you famous? And I go, what? And he goes, I was talking to the guys at work. He's a construction guy. And they said, your neighbor is the girl from the radio. So they asked me if you were hot. And I said, well, she's no Marilyn Monroe.
Wow.
And I go, okay.
Right. And then you.
How do you react to that? But ever since then, even though he doesn't think I'm no Marilyn Monroe, I'm convinced that he's constantly trying to look in my window.
He was saying that to throw you off, Anna. He's totally looking in your window.
Right. That's exactly what I think.
So strange. I mean, again, people have other lives. They're doing things. They can't just be sitting there bird watching.
Yeah. Well, okay.
So I think he opens every blind in the house, mostly the bathrooms. It's like he wants people to look in our bathrooms for some reason.
Why?
It's weird.
I mean, not for nothing. If I'm sitting on the throne, I'm lower than the window.
Yeah, you're not when you stand up to pull your pants up. I mean,
it's true. First of all, Alicia, what kind of grade would you like to give Raven as a husband this week?
Listen, I really want to give him an F so badly because he's the reason I haven't slept all week with his snoring and his coughing because he's getting over this whatever he had.
Yeah.
But it's not his fault, so I can't give him an F, but I'm going to give him a C because I'm really tired. I'm really, really tired, Anna.
Okay, well, you're going to take that C. But I really want to know what other people do with their blinds. So
open up the curtains.
So let's take your calls. 1-800-330-9999. Upstairs, like wherever your bedroom is, let's keep it that way. Where your bedroom is, are your blinds up, down? What's your protocol for them? Think about your bedroom where you change. Maybe it's on the second floor. Maybe it's on the first floor. But you have blinds in there, right? Do you keep the blinds open or closed when you're getting changed? I'm on the second floor, and I still close my blinds all the time.
I mean, it makes no sense. Unless somebody is in a tree, they can't see you. They don't know what's going on.
Oh, no, they can.
And in your mind, they want to.
1-800-330-9999. Nancy, do you keep your blinds open or closed? What do you do?
Ironically, my husband, Brian, is the one who always is closing the drapes. I'm like, I'm a senior citizen. Who wants to gawk at me? I really don't. I'm oblivious to it. And he's like, Nancy, close those blinds now. Close the curtains. I'm oblivious to it, though.
They want to see. That's all I want to...
Come on.
I don't know who the they is, but in my mind, they want to see. Christian, what's your blind situation? Do you keep them up, pull them down? What do you do?
Blinds up. Someone wants a show, they can watch.
See that? You know, some of these guys, they're bringing the confidence. I ask you, Anna, is there any difference with curtains? Because curtains are kind of like, you know, some curtains are like dark, right? You can't see through them. And other ones, a whole lot of them, it's like a valance or whatever. It's like you can see through it.
Well, in my daughter's room, they have a see-through one, so it doesn't matter. In our room, we have the blackout ones
because
that's from when the baby was little and she was sleeping in there with us and whatever. And I close those all the time.
There'll be no sun in there.
There will be no street lights, nothing.
Allison, second floor blind, specifically your bedroom. What's the protocol?
I mean, they're down at night, you know, they're down when I'm sleeping because it needs to be dark in there if I'm going to sleep. But if it's nice, you know, I'll open them up during the day. I try to remember to go back and forth, but sometimes I guess I probably leave them up and then I end up walking around in front of them and, you know, don't want to give the neighbors any ideas. So I try to keep them closed.
We don't want to give them ideas that you get
the
changed
ideas
in your bedroom.
Right. This must be a message for me, with binoculars four houses down across the street.
She's on OnlyFans. Look at her walking around her bedroom getting changed.
So
she putting on jeans?
Slowly. Put them on slowly.
Al, what's your protocol when it comes to the blinds on the second floor?
Blinds up. Enjoy the show.
Oh, my
God. Yeah, buddy. That was like the third day that I moved into this house. Like one of the neighbors, you know, everybody all of a sudden was walking the neighborhood. I mean, a lot of people do take walks in our neighborhood, but I do remember when we first moved in, it was like everybody took a walk in the neighborhood because, you know, they got to check you out right? They got to peep the place. And I remember clearly my neighbor from across the street, he got a total view of me right out of the shower. He just had the right angle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he was very excited about that.
Well, the good news is the windows aren't at my ankles. So, you know, he got the chest up.
Good.
You know what I mean? But had I been standing on my dresser, that would have been dangerous.
Okay. Carol, what's your blind protocol on the second floor of your bedroom?
I usually leave him up unless I'm like seriously changing, but I just don't really have any shame. So they're kind of up all the time.
Is speed a factor? So like if you're taking your time and you're like, I'm going to go slow today and relax after getting out of the shower. I don't know. Maybe, moisturizing or whatever it is that girls do.
Uh-huh.
But you know, if you're doing that, does that make any difference? Or, you know, do you always be like, I'm getting dressed so fast that it doesn't matter. Nobody will see because it's so fast.
No, I just want everything like buttoned up so no one sees me.
Doesn't matter
how fast I'm getting changed.
So when I'm going fast, I believe that I could take certain chances. I will roll those dice.
I've never really paid attention to the speed I use when I get dressed.
Like you get out of the shower, you need something that's downstairs, you forgot it down there, you know all the blinds are open downstairs, but you just got to get it.
No, but I run with my towel wrapped around me. I won't go down there without a towel. What are you, crazy?
Well, you know.
Never.
It's time for Mommy's Margarita Friday.
Come to Mama.
Anna and Raven.
First call of New Year from the school happened the first day back for my daughter, my toddler.
Mm-hmm. Is she in big trouble? Is she in slight trouble?
No. So if you're familiar at all, my four-year-old Dakota I get a lot of calls home. There's a lot of issues. So
she's a spirited child.
Yeah. But this time, it's the weirdest new thing. She shoves too much food in her mouth and she chokes herself. Out of all the dumb things, first she was headbutting kids. Remember, then she was biting. Like, there's always something going on. Now, she's shoving too many mini muffins in her mouth at once that the teacher had to go in with their hands to get the mini muffins out because she was choking.
Oh, I mean, that is scary.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Also extremely strange and hard to explain.
Oh, like, the minute we figure out one thing, we're just on to the next.
I mean, are they running at her going, no give me the muffins?
Yes.
Like, she's trying to eat them all first? Or if it's regular snack time, this is strange behavior.
She's been doing it at home, too. She, like, I think she lets herself get so starving, even though we try to feed her, that she just shoves as much in her mouth as possible because all of a sudden she realizes she's so hungry.
She wants to be efficient. Let me get back to playing.
I can't wait to have my margarita tonight. But what did you do this week to earn your margarita? It doesn't matter if you're a mom or a dad or you take care of students, pets, children. 1-800-330-9999.
Well, I survived my kids being home from college for the holidays. but I have never been so happy to see them head off yesterday.
That's a lot, right? Especially, did they bring any visitors? Anybody bring the girlfriend, the boyfriend?
Yep. My son's girlfriend came by. that was interesting. And, you know, we got through it. We got through it.
I always feel like you're so excited for the kids to come home. Well, when I talk to my friends that have, like, their kids in college. But then when they leave, they're always like, you want to go out for a glass of wine? You available? What are you doing, you know?
Right.
It's nice to have a little bit of that freedom back, too. All right, well, you enjoy that margarita.
All right, thank you.
Susan, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
I threw a pancake and hot chocolate party for my 84 fifth graders.
Wow. 84?
That's a lot.
Oh, my
gosh. It's a middle school. A lot of syrup and batter everywhere.
Oh my gosh, so sticky.
Oh
very
gosh.
Sticky children everywhere. The floors, you can never walk again. Your feet are just stuck.
Yes.
Congratulations, Mama. You earned that margarita.
Yeah, great effort. Great effort.
Alexis, what'd you do this week to earn your margarita?
My four-year-old twins keep getting up at 4:00 in the morning, and they're just having full-on conversations, doing everything they're not supposed to, having a blast. And I'm having a hard time. I don't know what to do.
So terrible.
Teach those kids a laptop and get them a job.
Oh.
I mean, if they're up that early, right, and they're having that much fun.
So Dakota, first of all, it's scary because, like, all of a sudden you hear them, you don't know what they're doing. Like, my little one, she's 4 too. She'll just show up in the middle of the night. Like, she'll walk into our room, and, like, I'll just open my eyes, and she'll be standing there. She'll be like, hi, Mom. I'm like, ah! It's terrifying. But then sometimes I just hear her talking, and I'm like, is she talking to a ghost? Is
right.
she talking? At least you know they have each other there.
That's true.
My sister-in-law, she put the lock on the outside to keep them in the room so they wouldn't, like, fall down the stairs or, God forbid, do something like that.
Right.
And I was like, I'm not against locking my kids in their room to keep them safe.
I've seen that before.
Well, enjoy that margarita. You deserved it.
Thank you so much.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up to you to decide who's right. John and Nina. Nina, what's going on?
So, for the holidays this year, John's brother, he bought, you know, our son, 13 years old, this PS5. Super fantastic gift, right? Like, obviously, everybody wants one of those, but I am 100% positive, really, that his brother stole it from his job. He's a bit, you know, he's just a bit shady with things. And the PS5 is like impossible to get. It's very expensive. He's really bad with his money. I'm pretty positive that's the case. And, you know, I don't want our son having like a stolen piece of technology. And so I would like my husband to ask his brother if he stole it, like flat out.
Well, that's going to be an awkward situation. John, what's your side of this?
So one, there's a lot of history between her and my brother. They just don't get along. So she doesn't have a lot of trust for him. So I think she's assuming a lot of that, right? Two, our son's been playing with the PS5 for 2 weeks now. So let's go with her hypothetical scenario of I confront him and I ask him if it's stolen. Let's say he says yes. What are we going to do? Take the PS5 away from our kid? No, because then he's going to be unhappy. And then my brother's going to be unhappy that I asked him that. So, like, what good can possibly come out of this outcome? See what I'm saying?
Man, that's tough.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. Has anybody ever had anything that fell off a truck somewhere? I kind of did. I get what you're saying is it's not right, Nina, and it makes you suspect, but it is a very delicate situation, right? I mean, you have no idea, right? I mean, the brother's shady. Okay, let's say that's true. Got this job that he works in electronics. On the other hand, if he's got this job, he's probably got access to items that not everybody in the public has all the time, right? You've got a friend in one warehouse or a friend at one store or the other says this one came back on return or whatever.
It's a big gift. That's a big gift.
It's a very big gift.
It's a big gift.
Let's see what the audience has to say. Maybe they agree with you, Nina. John, it's only right to say to your brother, hey, listen, is this stolen? Did you give my son a stolen gift? At least so you know. And so you tell him, like, that's not cool. Don't do it again.
I mean, what do you do when cops come over to visit? What? You put a sheet over it?
I have no idea. I have no clue. I don't know what to say.
There's nothing gained from knowing, but okay.
But they may see your side too, John, where ignorance is bliss. Your son is super happy. He's, you know, let it just be. It was a gift. He got a gift, and now he plays with his gift.
Because if you're not giving me a replacement one right then, the only thing that comes at the end of that day is I hate you both.
Well, 13 years old is old enough to know right from wrong.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I want the PS5.
Well.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I don't know. The whole thing seems kind of shady, if you ask me. John and Nina, their 13-year-old son, got a PS5. From John's brother, his uncle, for Christmas. The thing is Nina is about 99.9% sure that that PS5 fell off a truck, that it wasn't legally obtained.
She says he stole it. She says he stole it, and she wants John to confront his brother about it. And he says, how am I supposed to do that? We're not going to take the PS5 away from our son anyway. He's been playing it for 2 weeks. So what sense does it come to find out whether or not this is actually stolen
here? She says, I want you to say to your brother, stop giving our kids stolen stuff.
Well, wait a minute. So this is the first instance. So let's not say like this is a normal thing. I'll tell you where I really, you know, are hesitant on it, right? Because sometimes you feel like you know, you have intuition. But, I mean, we've all been in a situation where we've assumed something before and we were completely wrong. When she says she's 100% positive, that tells me right there that she's probably inaccurate.
I don't know about that. I think when you know, you know. But what do you think? Do you say something to the brother or you let it go? 1-800-330-9999. Joe?
I'm on the husband's side because it's just wrong. You're just going to hurt the kid if you take the PlayStation away all because the wife is vindictive against the husband's brother. That is just so wrong. You're only going to hurt your child because you're just being vindictive against his brother. It's just so wrong.
You know, here's another scenario. What if the brother knows that they've had, like, you know, a shady past together or whatever, and he's trying to compensate? And he bought this gift for their son and, like, you know, overcompensated by buying this extravagant gift. And then what?
Exactly. Trying to do something right, and now she's saying he stole it. It makes you not even want to do nothing nice for nobody.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? What would you do if you had a really good, well, kind of hunch that your brother-in-law stole a PS5 and gave it to your son for Christmas. It's exactly what Nina thinks happened, and she wants her husband, John, to say something to his brother about it.
John said, hold on, let me pause this game and let me think about this and discuss it with Anna and Raven. But we all know when you get the gift, you open it up and they start playing with it. What are you going to do? You can't rip it out of their hands later on. This is John's point. We don't know where it came from. Why should we care? And if we're not going to take it from our son, why bother?
What would you do? 1-800-330-9999.
I'm on his side. I get where she's coming from, but what they eat to see if there's a warranty, say the PS5 just had a malfunction so you can get it replaced or something. That way they're not confronting him, but they're still getting the proof that he apparently needs for some reason.
I mean, if an $800 unit goes on the fritz after 2 weeks of opening it up, I would definitely have a problem with that. But if you're trying to find out the information but doing it backhanded, I'm not sure I agree. But you know what? Thank you for the vote.
I can't believe they cost that much money.
Oh, yeah. The big bucks.
Oh,
I mean,
my goodness.
Like, they cost what they cost, but then to actually get your hands on one to mark it up, it's like so much.
Okay. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. I feel that I agree stealing is wrong, but if the wife is only assuming he did it, then we all know what happens when we assume. And what good is going to come out of it? You're not going to take it away from the son. He doesn't need to know. And it's just going to cause more family rift. So I'm totally on the husband's side.
Hi, Ann. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side because I feel like it's really none of their business as to he may have stolen it or not, may have gotten a good discount. Whatever the situation, I don't think like it's everything's just going to blow up between the child and the brother and whatever. I think they should just accept the gift, which they already have for 2 weeks. So why didn't they give it back the minute they opened it, that it's inappropriate?
Right. I'll tell you why they didn't give it back immediately. Because it was awesome. Because they opened it up and they were like, oh my God,
I know. I would say just take it. You don't really know if he stole it or not. That's his issue if he did, not theirs. And that's what I would say.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
John, our audience agreed with you today. It's better just to stay quiet. It was a gift. You don't know anything, and just let it be.
Thank you.
Hi.
Nina, you seem pretty quiet.
Yeah, not feeling so great about this, but I guess, yeah, I'll have to let it be. I hope it doesn't happen again, because if something like this happens again, I guess we'll be right back here.
Yeah.
This is not even about the PS5. It's about the fact that you don't like my brother and you're just always after him. That's what it's really about.
Nina, I think you have to be aware of the fact that you are making some jumps here. I mean, it is a great gift, of course, but I mean, there's a lot of assumption going on here to just assume that it has to be stolen.
Yeah, but if you know, you know.
Okay.
And also, like, this is not just like it's not like I'm pulling this out of thin air, you know? Like, he's not been good with his money. We've had little incidents like this before. Not that he's blatantly stolen things, but like.
There it is. There exactly. It is. She's had incidents before. That's what I'm saying. It's not about the PS5.
All right.
Good luck, guys.
Yep. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $1,800. Michelle, are you ready to play today?
Yes.
All right, let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room.
Sure, good luck.
Please.
Okay.
Thanks.
So Raven's walking out. Eventually, that big old studio door will slam shut, and he won't be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to go, Michelle?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's take him down. Number one, Bryan Cranston is bringing back Walter White for a Super Bowl commercial this year. Walter White is the main character from what show?
I don't know.
Number two, Edward Norton discovered that Pocahontas is his 12th great-grandmother. In the 1995 film Pocahontas, the Disney one, who does Pocahontas fall in love with?
John Smith.
Number three, Hugh Jackman posted a video where he hilariously begs the Oscars not to give Ryan Reynolds a nomination because he said it would make his life insufferable. Hugh Jackman plays what role in X-Men?
Wolverine.
Number four, DeMar Hamlin is awake and showing remarkable improvement after he suffered cardiac arrest on the field. He even woke up and asked who won the game. He plays for what team?
Oh my goodness, it's all over the news. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And it's all right. Number five, the internet is trying to figure out why Dolly Parton wears nude gloves all the time. I can't figure it out myself. She co-hosted a New Year's Eve special with who?
Miley Cyrus.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yep.
3 out of 5 for Michelle.
Not terrible, not great. $1,800, Michelle. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Bryan Cranston is bringing back Walter White for a Super Bowl commercial this year.
Hmm.
Walter White is the main character from what show?
Breaking Bad.
Yes. Number two, Edward Norton discovered that Pocahontas is his 12th great-grandmother. In the 1995 Disney film Pocahontas, who does Pocahontas fall in love with?
John Smith.
That's right. And I'm always embarrassed to admit that I didn't know that Pocahontas from the movie was different from the real Pocahontas in real life.
You should be embarrassed.
I was definitely embarrassed, but right. I definitely
did
my...
It's not a documentary.
No, I did my research and I've learned a lot. Let's just keep it at that.
Yeah, everybody should do their research and learn the same things.
Yes.
It's good advice.
Number three, Hugh Jackman posted a video where he hilariously begs the Oscars not to give Ryan Reynolds a nomination because it would make his life, and I quote, insufferable. Hugh Jackman plays what role in X-Men?
He's Wolverine. I just want to hang out with these guys.
I mean, they must have so much fun.
I just want to go to a barbecue where, like, Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds are busting each other's stones. Taylor Swift is playing with the kids, and Blake Lively is like, I made this cucumber salad. Does anybody want to try? I want to go to that party.
Actually, I would love to go to that party, too. Number four, DeMar Hamlin is awake and showing remarkable improvement after he suffered cardiac arrest on the field. He even woke up and asked who won the game. He plays for what team?
Plays for the Bills. Come on, Super Bowl bound.
All right. And number five, the internet is trying to figure out why Dolly Parton wears nude gloves all the time. I also don't know why. I have no idea.
I think it's probably because she doesn't want to show her aging spots.
No, some people say that. Some people say it's because she covers tattoos. Some people says it's for arthritis. Who knows? But she co-hosted a New Year's Eve special with who?
Miley Cyrus.
I'm sorry, Michelle. He beat you 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Oh, great. Thank you. This is Michelle, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,900 Monday.